Lily Allen is here today. She's been on a roller coaster ride since she put her songs, particularly Smile, up on her MySpace and the downloading began. Her album All Right Still was a huge success in England last summer and has done very well here in the States since its release earlier this year. The tongue-in-cheek video for Smile features Lily getting back at her ex in very comical ways. We'll hear the real story behind that song in just a bit. I ask her about the ride she's been on and when she feels it really all started for her.
No, I'd say it was probably writing the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Smile being the first song that I ever wrote. I guess it was probably, that was the kind of landmark for me, was when I first wrote Smile, which was my big single in the UK.
So what was the situation that led to you writing Smile in the first place? Is it as simple as the story that's in the song?
Pretty much, except for the purposes of artistic licensing. I've said that he cheated on me, which he didn't. He just left me.
Oh.
But that was bad enough as far as I was concerned. he was like my first love, really. I was probably about 16 when we got together, and then he left me when I was 18, and it affected me pretty badly. So,
well, you know, that fact, when you look at the video, I mean, you're brutal to him in the video, and it kind of justifies things. You did a good rewrite of history to justify the reaction.
Thanks.
Had you been writing at all before that? Why turn that experience into a song?
Had I been writing before? No, Smile was the first song that I ever wrote. From start to finish. I mean, I'd been singing for years. I've kind of been doing session work and singing, other people, like songwriters' demos for other artists. And I suppose the reason that, Smile worked so well is because it was about me and it was about my life and about something that I'd experienced. And I think it came across. As soon as it kind of came out, it was like, okay.
Did you sing any demos that turned into anything?
No. They can't have been very good. I had a record deal before I did all of this stuff when I was signed to Warner's in probably kind of 99, 2000. And I was singing like all kind of pop folk music that I didn't write. Other people wrote it.
And that felt really uncomfortable?
Yeah, it just didn't feel right. It just felt slightly kind of soul destroying. And why am I singing these songs that have nothing to do with my life?
So you just let that go, or it just didn't go anywhere itself?
It didn't go anywhere. The guy that signed me to the record company left the record company, and nobody else within the record company was passionate enough about it to pick it up, and they wouldn't give me any more money, and they wouldn't let me finish the album, but they wouldn't drop me, so I had to take them to court, which I did, and won.
Well, you did the right thing.
Thanks.
And so this is Smile.
Left me, I was wanting more, but you were doing that girl next door. What'd you do that for? When you first left me, I didn't know what to say. I never been on my own that way, just sat by myself all day. I was so lost back then, but with a little help from my friends, I found a light in the tunnel at the end. Now you're calling me up on the phone, so you can have a little wine and a moan. It's only because you're feeling alone. At first, when I see you cry, yeah, it makes me smile. Yeah, it makes me smile. And at worst, I feel bad for a while, but then I just smile. I go ahead and smile. Now whenever you see me, you say that you want me back, and I tell you it don't mean jack. No, it don't mean jack. I couldn't stop laughing, no, I just couldn't help myself. See, you messed up my mental health, and I was quite unwell. I was was so lost back then, but with a little help from my friends, I found a light in the tunnel at the end. And now you're calling me up on the phone, so you can have a little wine and a moan. It's only because you're feeling alone. At first, when I see you cry, yeah, it makes me smile. Yeah, it makes me smile. At worst, I feel bad for a while, but then I just smile. I go ahead and smile. When I see you cry, yeah, it makes me smile. Yeah, it makes me smile. And at worst, I feel bad for a while, but then I just smile. I go ahead and smile. At first, when I see you
lovely, the acoustic version of Smile, the sample-free version from Lily Allen joining us today on the World Cafe. One of the things I love about All Right Still, all the way through that song, everything else, is the use of the samples. What's really cool to me about it is you don't actually stay with the samples. They kind of introduce the tunes, and then you drop into your own rhythms on each and every one of them. How did the samples come about to be part of each songs? Is that how you wrote them to begin with, or how did that...
No. It's kind of like my production team, who on Smile and LDN and Knock 'Em Out, which are kind of some of the three standout tracks on the album, I think. We're down with these guys in Manchester, and we just kind of had a really similar taste in music, and that's kind of how we were writing. Was, you know, I'd go up there and bring a whole bunch of 7 inches, and we'd kind of go through them and say what we liked and what we wanted to kind of draw inspiration from, and they'd do the same. And that's just the way that they work, you know. I think it's the way that a lot of producers work these days, and I think it's, you know, it's about, you know, everyone kind of just goes out record shopping,
yeah, right.
and steals other people's material. But I think, you know, I think that as long as you aren't just completely copying something and you're using it for inspiration and to bring something else to the song, then that's fine.
Were the lyrics what you brought to things initially, the lyrics, and how did you work with the production team? How did that work?
I don't bring anything. I'm not prepared at all. We kind of like come up with the songs, and you know, usually I have to be completely inspired by the music.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It has to kind of make sense.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I think that's maybe why everything is so literal, because usually as soon as I hear something, an image will come into my head, and then I just have to think of the words to best describe that image.
Well, can you do LDN? That's one of our faves.
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
We can.
Yes. Who's playing live with you?
Shannon on the Rhodes over here. And Shucks on the guitar. Running through the city on my bike all day, 'cause the filth took away my license. It doesn't get me down and I feel okay, 'cause the sights that I'm seeing are priceless. Everything seems to look as it should, but I wonder what goes on behind doors. A fella looking dapper and he's sitting with a slapper, then I see it's a pimp and it's crack core. You might laugh, you might frown, walking town. Sun is in the sky, oh why would I wanna be anywhere else? Sun is in the sky, oh why would I wanna be anywhere else? When you look with your eyes, everything seems nice. But if you look twice, you can see it's all lies. There was a little old lady who was walking walking down the road. She was struggling with bags from Tesco's. There were people from the city having lunch in the park. I believe that is called alfresco. When a kid came along to offer a hand, but before she had time to accept it, hits her over the head, doesn't care if she's dead, cause he's got all her jewelry and wallet. You might laugh, you might frown, walking round London town. Sun is in the sky, oh why would I wanna be anywhere else? Sun is in the sky, oh why would I wanna be anywhere else? When you look with your eyes, everything seems nice, but if you look twice, you can see it's all lies. Life, yeah, that's city 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 life. Sun is in the sky, oh why would I wanna be anywhere else? Sun is in the sky, oh why would I wanna be anywhere else? Sun is in the sky, oh why would I wanna be anywhere else? Sun is in the sky, oh why would I wanna be anywhere else? When you look with your eyes, everything seems nice, but if you look twice, you can see it's all lies. When you look with your eyes, everything seems nice, but if you look twice, you can see it's all lies.
Lily Allen in amazingly good voice for this hour of the day, I must say, on version of LDN. That sounds great. Good tune. So all this information I have on you is that you were kicked out of umpteen million schools. What's your version of that? How did that happen?
I don't know, really. It just happened. I'm not very good at being told what to do.
Right.
I'm pretty lazy. Not very good at working. And I was very good at lying when I was a child. Getting myself into trouble. I just didn't really like it, and I did everything that I could to get thrown out and move. I didn't really get on with my peers very well.
You moved a lot when you were a kid, mostly around London or around other places?
Around London. I also lived in Ireland for a bit. I kind of did a stint in Los Angeles because my mum's a film producer, so we'd go there.
Hmm. What was your favourite place to live?
London, I think.
Why is London your favorite place? What does London have now that's...
I don't know. People ask me this quite a lot, actually. I don't think it's any one standout thing in particular that makes London a really special place. I think it's when you look at everything together, you know, all the restaurants and the great food that we have, and the fact that my family's there, and all the great architecture, the history, the stories that go with it. I don't know, the Notting Hill Carnival.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much to do and so much going on. And yeah, I think the history, it's a lot to do with the history. I mean, that's what I kind of, when I go to places like Los Angeles, I really feel like I'm missing the history of something. Mm. You know, you feel like people have just been there for, you know, thousands of years experiencing things. Yes. Whereas you go to places like LA and it all seems relatively new. They're still making the same mistakes. Sorry.
Is there a favorite part of London? A favorite part of the city?
My bed.
But you haven't seen that in forever.
Not for a while.
I was also reading some of the things you kind of got yourself interested in. This may be an example to say, she may have got kicked out of school, but she was interested in many intellectual pursuits. And one of them I just thought was fascinating, something we would never even think of here, which is World War II evacuation story.
Gosh, where did you get that from?
I don't know. I read that somewhere.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know what it was, but I was obsessed with World War II evacuation stories when
now
I was like 13.
Kids who would leave London and go...
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, it was books that were all kind of centered around, but it was not necessarily English. Like, there was one called The Silver Sword, which was about three Jewish-Polish kids, and Carrie's War, When Hitler Stole Pink Rabbit. I don't know. It was just a weird subject. that I was into.
I'm sorry, this is also, I don't know where this came from either. An interest in 18th century aristocracy. Of course, here in the U.S., we had no 18th century aristocracy.
It's actually more kind of 16th and 17th century now that I think about it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm very fascinated by that era. I think people were a lot more interesting and kind of accepting, maybe as well. And it was all very luxurious, you know. It's something that interests me still to this day.
With your musical taste, people, because of the number of the samples, I guess, point to your interest in ska and things. But you, were you kind of a, in America, they would call it a club kid. Did you do a lot of clubbing? Were you interested in drum and bass and all kinds of dance music as well?
I didn't really go to many clubs as such, but we used to do like, I hung out in a circle of people where we'd like put on raves in fields and in like illegal warehouses and stuff. So yeah, I did have my fair share of raving and partying.
And now at the ripe age of, what, are you 22 now?
21.
Yeah. Okay. Now she can actually go to those places that she...
Well, in England, you can drink when you're 18.
Oh, there you go.
But I was doing that when I was 15, so right. Actually 14.
when you weren't in school, but we're studying about 16th century aristocracy. Yeah. Lily Allen is our guest. What do you want to do next?
Here is Littlest Things.
Sometimes I find myself sitting back and reminiscing, especially when I have to watch other people kissing. And I remember when you started calling me your missus, all the play fighting, all the flirtatious disses. I tell you sad stories about my childhood. I don't know why I trusted you, but I knew that I could. We spend the whole weekend lying in our own dirt. I was just so happy in your boxers and your t-shirt. Dreams, dreams of when we had just started things. Dreams of me and you. It seems that I can't shake those memories. I wonder if you have the same dreams too. The littlest things that take me there. I know it sounds lame, but it's so true. I know it's not right, but it seems unfair. Things are reminding me. Sometimes I wish we could just pretend, even if only for one weekend. So come on, tell me, is this the end? Drinking tea in bed, watching DVDs, when I discovered all your dirty, grotty magazines. You take me out shopping, and all we buy is trainers, as if we ever needed anything to entertain us. The first time that you introduced me to your friends, and you could tell that I was nervous, so you held my hand. When I was feeling down, you'd make that face you do. There's no one in the world who could replace you. Dreams, dreams of when we had just started things. Dreams of me and you. And it seems that I can't shake those memories. I wonder if you feel the same way too. The littlest things that take me there. I know it sounds lame, but it's so true. I know it's not right, but it seems unfair. Things are reminding me of you. Sometimes I wish we could just pretend, even if only for one weekend. So come on, tell me, is this the end? The littlest things that take me there. I know it sounds lame, but it's so true. I know it's not right, but it seems unfair. Things are reminding me of you. La 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 la
Lily Allen at her kindness, her kindest, I should say, to a to an ex. I wanted to talk a little bit about the British press, because it's very different than here in the U.S. You talked about some of the rounds you've been making here. But in England, there's a couple of really powerful things, like the NME, who shoot people up the charts. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as they get successful, things turn in a way. I know you were one of the 10 coolest people in the NME, and then you became one of the most annoying people in the BBC 3 poll. It just all seems kind of absurd. Do you have any perspective on it at this point?
No, I don't. I don't really, you know, I think the thing to remember is that, you know, people that write for magazines like NME are so desperately uncool, that there's no, you know, why would you want to listen to them about who they think is the coolest 50 people in music? I mean, they're all idiots, so...
Have things changed as things have blown up? Have how people approach you changed completely? Have you been able to remain yourself?
Well, you know what? I'm with the same people every day, and I have, you know, I'm never really at home, I'm never really in London. So it's quite funny that all these people in the UK have kind of got this vision of who they think I am. Yeah, I haven't even seen any of them for like a year. You know what? It's stupid. I am a singer and a songwriter, and I'm not, you know, I'm not a celebrity. I don't want to be a celebrity. So,
yeah, I've never seen you in a situation where you carry yourself like a celebrity. So that's
well, I think you know, I think you know, as a musician, that things are going wrong when you have to go to 2 film premieres a week and go to all of these glitzy showbiz parties and, you know, wear silly dresses. And not that I don't wear silly dresses, but you know what I mean.
What's your favorite kind of a gig?
A sold out one.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's different. I think I get a lot out of playing festivals, because you never know how many people are going to turn up, and it's such a, you know, kind of pat on the back when, you know, 10,000 people come and watch you when there's, you know, 4 other bands playing at exactly the same time. And I get a lot out of that.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, it's an intimate performance here today. What do you want to finish up with?
We're gonna do a cover of another UK band called Keen, and this is a song of theirs called Everybody's Changing.
Indeed.
About it, I don't see how you can. You're aching, you're breaking, and I can see the pain in your eyes. It says everybody's changing, and I don't feel right. So little time, I try to understand that. Yeah, I'm trying to make a move just to stay in the game. I try and stay awake and remember my name, but everybody's changing and I don't feel the same. You're gone from here and soon you will disappear, fading into beautiful light. It says everybody's changing and I don't know why. So little time, I try to understand that trying to make a move just to stay in the game. I try and stay awake and remember my name, but everybody's changing and I don't feel the same.
Thank you.
understand that I'm trying to make a move just to stay in the game. I try and stay awake and remember my name, but everybody's changing and I don't feel the same. Oh yeah, everybody's changing and I don't feel the same.
Version of Keane's Everybody's Changing from Lily Allen, our guest here on the World Cafe today. Lily, thank you so much for coming on by.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Lily Allen, our guest, and we'll be right back in just a moment here on the World Cafe.